So last month we talked about Jesus Christ as the greatest example, and I mentioned that we might do multiple parts of him, just because there's just a lot to take in. And so today we're going to continue in Jesus as the greatest example. And one of the things that we talked about very small amount last time was his teachings, and this time we really want to focus in on him being the greatest example with the things that he taught. If you would, turn over with me to Matthew 5, and we're just going to look at verse 48 for just a minute. And so the first thing that Jesus taught us is how we can be perfect. Let's look at Matthew 5, verse 48. It says, "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." You know, when you see here, you know, the term used here is perfect, and it really means a perfect specimen of a godly man. But really it means someone who is ready to go to heaven. That's how I've always liked to use that term, and it's really a mature level to where your life is set and you're ready. Everything you've done in your life has been accomplished in a way that God would have you to accomplish it. And your next step is to go to heaven. You're ready for it. Go back with me to verse 38. And when we think about what's happening here, so this is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And the folks that are listening to this message, they have been taught for so long things in the law. And here comes this man who's professing to be the Son of God, and is teaching them something different. Something that they've never heard before, but also something that makes them better. The law didn't make you a man of God in the way that Jesus shows them. And let's look at verse 38, start with verse 38, and then we can continue through. It says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." You know, if you look at here and in the law, it taught eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And, you know, the law taught a lot about retaliating on those who did evil towards you. And I imagine someone at this time who knew what the law taught, hearing this man now teach a different way. Don't give in. Do the opposite. If someone punches you on your cheek, turn the other cheek. Could you imagine the thoughts of this, of that, just running through your mind, knowing that someone is now telling you something different, something new? And let's turn over just for a minute to Leviticus 24, and let's just look at it. You know, this is what they've known their whole life. Turn over with me to Leviticus 24. And look at all the things that the law allowed you to do. Leviticus 24, starting in verse 17. It says, "If a man takes the life of any human being, he shall surely be put to death. The one who takes the life of an animal shall make it good, life for life. If a man injures his neighbor just as he has done, so it should be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Just as he has injured a man, so it should be inflicted on him. Thus the one who kills an animal shall make it good, but the one who kills a man shall be put to death. There shall be one standard for you. It shall be for the stranger as well as the native, for I am the Lord your God." Then Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, and they brought the one who had cursed outside the camp and stoned him with stones. Thus the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. notice in verse 22, it says there should be one standard. This was their standard of living that God implemented. But remember, God had also talked about, and we just read it in Ezekiel, about a new covenant, and really a better covenant. But what is this better covenant doing? It's really showing you who God actually is. God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. And what he wants you to do is to be a person of mercy, to be a person of love. And it's a change in your thinking. And, you know, when you look at 38 through 43, 42 here, and the fact that you're not giving an eye for an eye, you instead are giving yourself up instead of getting and retaliate instead of retaliating. And when you think about it, it's the opposite of the law, but it's also, it shows a true follower thinks outside the law. And what does he think with? He thinks inside with his heart. That's what this new covenant does. It lets you think with your heart. And when you think with your heart, what comes with it? Compassion, love, being humble, selfless, merciful. That's what thinking inside does to each and every one of us. And that's what Jesus did, taught. And if you go back and read the whole Matthew chapter 5 and then obviously in the other Gospels, every section that he talks about, it's a different way of thinking. And each and every one of us, when we're living our lives, we also need to make sure we have a different way of thinking. Because the earthly side of us wants to think one thing, but the true spiritual side of us should be thinking the total opposite of that. And really thinking with our hearts. And let's just turn over to Luke 6 for just a minute, and let's just look at it from this point of view. Luke 6, starting in verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks you, and whatever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High God, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. But be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now, if you connect that with the verse 5:48 in Matthew, what does it say? Be perfect, just as your Father is perfect. These verses are connected. Each and every one of us, our jobs in this life is to love and be merciful and not be willing to take from anyone, but to give. That is where Jesus' message is different. The old law was to take, pay back. Not anymore. We're to give up, give in. And each and every one of us, when we think about those things and when we're thinking about what we're willing to give up in this life and we think with our heart, it's not what we give up in this life that we're thinking about. It's what we gain in the after one. That's the most important. The second thing that Jesus taught us is the importance of a solid foundation. There is no doubt this life means nothing if you're not standing on solid ground. And Jesus himself and his message is that foundation. We know he's the foundation of the church, but he really needs to be the foundation of your life. And if he is, your life is going to be so much better. You're going to be so much happier. And you're really going to take the things that happen to you this life with out a grain of salt, and you're going to understand that things are happening for a reason, and it's to make me a better person, a better follower of God, and a closer person to God. So a solid foundation is important. Let's go to Luke 6 again, and let's go down a few verses to verse 46. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against it. That house could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without..." Sorry, verse 49. Let me read that again. "But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Turn over back over with me to Matthew 7 for a moment, and then I'll make a couple comments. Matthew 7. Look at starting in verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So you see here, our foundation is the words that Jesus has taught us. And it's important that we hear and act upon them. Because here's the thing. If we don't have a solid foundation in this life, what ends up happening is, for some reason, we all want to expect that because we're followers of Christ, that only good's going to happen to us. You know, we're going to read here in a moment that, no, the rain shines on the good, or the rain pours on the bad and the good. The sun shines on the evil and the good. That's life. Life, no matter where you're at in this life, something good could happen to you or something bad. But if your foundation is not solid, as soon as something bad comes into your life, you start blaming God. God becomes the reason that you end up falling apart. You want to put him at the forefront and say, "Why are you doing this?" It's not God. The foundation should be, okay, I'm going through something tough right now. Let me go to God. Let me use this foundation that Jesus has taught me, and let me strengthen myself. Let me guide my heart in the right direction. But instead, what ends up happening is something bad happens in your life. You blame God, and then you stop going to God. And, you know, a lot of times what happens when we're having good things happen in our lives, we don't go to God either. We go to God when we're in trouble. And you can see, you know, nations, our nations that we're around, and, you know, you go to God in prayer when something bad's happened. Prior to that, no one even thinks about him. And that is not a solid foundation. A solid foundation is one in which, no matter what you're going through, whether good, bad, negative, positive, it doesn't matter. God is leading you in whatever direction he wants you to go, and it's to help for the betterment of your soul. Because at the end of the day, this is not the life we're intended to live. It's the one after this one. That's what God wants us to see. If everything always went our way in this life, we wouldn't even want to go to the afterlife. What would it mean to us? Why would I want to lead this life when everything's positive? God wants us to see that the greatest thing that's in this life is the one after this one. And he wants you to lead you on the right direction. And so a solid foundation will allow for us to have a life, and when bad things happen, it won't crumble. Our lives will not fall apart. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians 3. Look what happens when you put your faith in earthly foundations. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it, but each man must be careful on how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation, look at these foundations that you can build your life on, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. When you look at the foundation itself, it's so important that the foundation is what you're rooted upon. Because if you build it with anything, gold, silver, precious stones, what does it say? Fire will destroy that, and you're going to be standing on nothing. Everything that's beneath your feet will be gone. But also, in the end of times, it's going to show what type of person you were. A person with solid foundation is going to be standing. You yourself may burn up, but the foundation that you stood upon is going to save you, and you're going to get you your reward because you stood true. Our earthly selves, our physical bodies, it's going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. It's not going to stick around. When we die, it turns to dust. Everything that's around us turns to nothing but rubble. And so the idea is that your spiritual life is your physical and earthly foundation. And Jesus taught us that. He taught us the importance of having a solid foundation in this life. The third thing he taught us is that the narrow road is small and less taken, but it's the only road we should be walking. Any other road is going to lead us in the wrong direction. And we know the verse, but you can turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So that means that if you're walking with others in this life that is 100% in the world, and that means you're walking a road that's too wide. And each and every one of us needs to be careful in the road that we're walking. And sometimes it's hard for us to see this because we're walking physically. We're in the physical form right now. And it's hard to realize and recognize that we're going to die one day. Everybody in here is going to die. There's not one person in here that's going to remain. We're all going to die. And we're going to go somewhere for an eternity. And if you're walking the road that's small, that eternity is going to look great. But the problem is it's so hard to see it because we can't picture it in our mind in the way that we should. Going back to the solid foundation, going back to what does it take to be perfect in the eyes of God. If you see those things, you can actually see the heavenly way. You can see what your future holds. The problem is we get blinded by things in this life. And we get stuck. And we're so stuck in the same routine, in the same spot, that we can't see anything in front of us. And because of that, we follow those who are next to us that are also running into the same brick wall every day. This huge road that leads to nowhere. And you're going to find out one day, and that day could be on the day of judgment, that you made a huge mistake. And there's no way to turn it back. It's not worth it. There's nothing in this life worth giving up for your soul. Nothing. There's nothing. I mean, not one thing. Not one person, not one friend, not one, not money, not power, not fame, nothing. I'd rather have nothing in this life knowing that I have something afterwards. Everybody should have that same mindset. And when we look at Matthew 7 here, you know, this is right after scriptures that just, look at what was just talked about in prior verses. In 7, just verse 1, it says, "Do not judge so that you do not, so that you, do not judge so that you will not be judged." The problem is that, you know, when you look at context here, is that we want to look at each and everybody else's life. But when in fact, we need to be looking at how we're living. What are we doing? What steps are we taking? And look at verse 7. You know, when we need to pray, we want to pray for things that's going to help us spiritually, that's going to help us see that spiritual road, that spiritual heaven, our heavenly home. That's what we want to pray for. And when we pray for those things, we want to help others around us see those same things. And then the golden rule. Look at 12. Treat everyone the way you want to be treated. And then it goes straight in this narrow gate, this narrow road. Why do you think that is? Because when you look at the law in itself, it didn't teach people to be merciful, compassion, spiritual thinking. It didn't teach people that. The law taught you to follow rules in a book. That's what the law taught. Jesus came to say, forget the rules in a book. Focus on what you can do to be like the Father. These are the things you can do. You can focus on the spiritual life after this one. And when you do that, look what happens. You don't worry about what the other person is doing. You focus on yourself to make sure you're doing right. And then you can help guide that person. When you're praying to help better your life here so that you can go in the future to your heavenly home. And then when you're treating people that's around you, you're treating them with the way you want to be treated. And if you're trying to be someone who is merciful, then you want to treat someone who is merciful because you want somebody to show you mercy and compassion, which is exactly what the Father has done for us with giving us His Son. And then finally, the last thing that He's taught us is that He can relate to each and every one of us. He can relate in this life because He lived the exact same life that you and I are living. So He can relate. Turn over with me to Hebrews 4. And look at verse 14. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus can relate to each and every one of us. It says that He was tempted in every way that we are. We have no excuse. We can go to Jesus. We can look at Jesus as our example with the way He lived His life, with the things that He taught, and we can draw near to that. You know, it says that we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. That means that we can draw near to God. We can draw to Christ. He can be our sympathizer for us. But we can also use Him to strengthen us, to say, what would you do in this situation? And I'm telling you, you pray that, you will find the answer. You will find the answer. And in most cases, it's just giving up, being willing to give up something that's hard to give up. And, you know, it could be anything. There's so much in our lives that we take for granted in a way that it pulls us away from God. And we make excuses as to why we don't want to give those things up. You know, but Jesus is our greatest example because He went through this life with no sin. We have no excuse. It's the same thing as if, you know, think about, we talked about like father, like son earlier. You know, Jesus, He's our example in the way that He's shown us how we can live this life as clearly minded as possible. And I think about, you know, like father, like son, and I look at baseball, for instance. You know, Ken Griffey Jr., his dad played baseball. Ken Griffey Jr. was a better baseball player than his dad because his dad showed him the way to play the game. So what did Ken Griffey Jr. do? He puts the same effort that his father did, and he played the game better because he learned from his father. That's the same thing that we can do. We can play, I'm not going to say we're going to play this game better than Jesus. I'm not saying that. But we can play this life in the same way if we learn from him, if we just do it. But a lot of times in this life, we just make excuses. And I've often said, there's so many times I've heard this in the pulpit that, you know, if we sin, or when we sin, the term when is used so many times. The Bible uses the term if. That carries the condition that you're going to learn not to sin. That's what each and every one of us should be doing. We should be focused on not sinning and not making excuses for allowing it in. Because when you allow it in, that's when your mind goes somewhere else and you're not learning from the truth. You're not learning from Jesus. He taught us, every one of us. And the key to understanding all this is going back to Matthew 7, verse 14. There are few who find it. Few. And there's a few of us here right now. And when I look at the few, I think about the limited amount of those who know the truth, but then I also think about those who know the truth and still don't believe in it. That's what's even more bothersome to me, is that there are a lot of those out there who really believe in the things that they are being taught. And, you know, it's hard to get them off that bandwagon, but yet they still put forth an effort. But what I see so many so often is, and Frank alluded to it earlier about how children fall away. You know, sometimes you don't allow God's word to convict you in the way that it should. You put up a front. But if you don't let God's word convict you and change your life, then you are going to regret it one day. You're going to regret it. And I have no idea what that day of judgment is going to be like. But I'm telling you that if you go to God and you have a regret on that day, you're going to be so ashamed because you heard the truth and yet you were convicted for a little bit, but you didn't stay true. You didn't let Jesus teach you in the way that he showed us. You didn't let him make you perfect. You didn't let him have a solid foundation. You didn't let him show you how he has went through this. So you didn't let him relate. And I don't know about you, but if we go through this life and we don't let Jesus do those things, it's going to be a tough life in the one after this one. But if there's anything that we can do to help you grow closer and draw you near to God, we use this time together as we stand and sing.